You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, and this is the Play Therapy Podcast. Today, this is part four of a six-part series from a talk that I gave last weekend at the Florida Association for Play Therapy Conference. In today's episode, we are talking through the applications of play therapy, specifically be with attitudes, reflective responding, I wonder statements, returning responsibility, and relationship preserving. That is the fourth of six. And if you'd like to follow along, have access to all of the slides and see the overview, you can visit playtherapypodcast.com/FAPT, as in Florida Association for Play Therapy. But in today's episode, it's the applications of child-centered play therapy. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so now we're moving in to applied play therapy. So we've covered foundations. I want to make sure. Do y'all feel like you understand the philosophical undergirdings, the core beliefs? Like, everything is built on what we just covered. So we kind of have to get there before we can move on. So now we're going to look at the application pieces of this. So how do we express these core beliefs and philosophies in everyday sessions with our kids, right? Okay, be with attitudes. One of my favorites. I pop quiz my parents all the time. Randomly, I'll be like, what are the be with attitudes? And I've got the like rock star overachievers that are like, nah, nah, and then I've got the ones that are like, and I'm like, you're cheating. No, you can't look them up. So I'm here. I hear you. I understand. I care. Those were the original four. In the new edition that was just released, they've added I delighted you, which I think is like the most amazing, wonderful contribution to the Be With Attitudes. Because what do all five of these Be With Attitudes all circle back to? Relationship. I'm here, I hear you, I understand, I care. I'm here, I'm physically present, but I'm emotionally present, I'm mentally present. I am with you here and now. I'm not internally distracted. I'm not thinking about lunch. I'm not doing anything else. I'm here in all capacities because you matter, right? I hear you. I teach a course at USF, not currently, but I have. And it was a capstone course, meaning almost all graduating seniors had to go through it. So I had people from all majors. So I like engineering students, biology students, whatever, like huge, crazy mix of people. And we had this whole lecture specifically about the difference between hearing and listening. So that's really, really powerful to understand the difference. And I don't have time. That's like a whole other thing. But I hear you is not just with my ear, because kids are mostly nonverbal. So it's I hear what you're not saying. I hear nonverbally from you too. Because most kids are not going to come in and say, I'm angry today. But they're going to beat the crap out of Bobo, or they're going to throw Hot Wheels at your head, or they're going to stab the baby doll or whatever. Why? Because they're saying I'm angry without their words. So I hear you is I'm listening to, of course, what you tell me, but I'm listening to what you don't tell me as well. And hearing is involuntary and listening is voluntary. So we have to understand the difference there. Related aside. Okay, I understand. I'm working really hard to put myself in your shoes. I need to get where you are right now. I care. It matters. No matter where you are or what you are, it matters to me. And then I delight in you. Why? Because I unconditionally love and accept you. I am happy just to be with you, even when I'm handcuffed and getting marks. And I mean, I have been bloodied in the room. I've been bruised in the room. I have cried in the room. These are casualties of being a play therapist, right? But it doesn't change my relationship with the child. Do I set a limit when I end up sliced with my leg dripping blood? Yes, I do. But I delight in you nonetheless. It's amazing. So the Be With Attitudes are how we do that in the playroom. And this is what I train parents to. I say, look, you can learn skills all day long, but if you communicate the Be With Attitudes,
That's the game changer. Do we need to reflect feelings? Of course. Do we need to give choices? Yes. Do we need to set limits? Yes. Do we need to encourage? We'll get there. Those are the pillars. All valuable, all important. But if we if a kid comes to a session with us and leaves and says, Miss Brenna was here, she heard me, she understood, she cared, and she delighted in me, I did my job. These are the most important things to think about in a session because it supports everything else. All right, so reflective responding. We talk a lot about responding reflectively, using reflective responses, et cetera, et cetera. There are three ways to do it. This is one of my favorites because this is overwhelming. I get it. I mean, some of you have a decent background in child-centered. Some of you have very little background in child-centered. For those of you that have very little, your head is exploding, and I get it, okay? I've been there. We all have. I get it. This is your, when you have no idea what you're supposed to say, when you have no idea what you're supposed to do, you're sitting there going, I'm not supposed to ask questions. I'm supposed to be here, hear you, understand, care. And you're in panic mode. You're going to do one of these three things. So this is your, like, pull it out of your back pocket. It's your, like, get out of jail card, okay? Reflecting feelings. Tell them how they feel. We'll get how to do that in a minute. But you're always going to be able to do one of these three things. Sometimes all at once. If a child says something, does something, and emotes in an exchange, you can do all three. But you're only going to do one because all three is overwhelming. Okay, so pick the one you want to do and stick with that one. But you can reflect feelings, you feeling word qualifier. We'll get there. Second, reflect content. I say back to you what you said to me. So the child says, I'm going to build a tower. And you say, you would like to build something today. If you say, you're going to build a tower, they go, stop copying me. So the warning is, summarize and paraphrase enough so that they don't go, why do you keep saying what I'm saying? Stop doing that. What, you sound like a robot. Are you a parrot? I mean, you'll get it all, okay? So you can't just say exactly what they tell you, but you say back to them what they've said to you. Sometimes you get 8 sentences long. Oh my gosh, I went to a birthday party and they had an inflatable slide and I slid down and I was the fastest one. And then we opened presents and they had a pinata. And so then you go, what do I need to say to summarize all 8 of those things? You went to a birthday party and did so many things. That's reflecting content. They told you, you tell them back in a summarized, paraphrased form. Okay? You can always do that when a child talks. Now, when you have the kid that plays like this the whole time and says nothing, you can't see their emotions, so number one's out. They're not saying a word to you, so you can't reflect content. That's out. So you move to where you can see them, and then you track their behavior. You're putting pieces together. You're moving those around. You're stacking those on top of each other. You track their behavior. You say what you see. So in any moment in the playroom, when all of this knowledge has absolutely escaped you and you're in panic mode, you're going to say, reflectively respond, reflectively respond, reflectively respond. I can reflect feelings, I can reflect content, I can track behavior. It's your go-to when the rest of everything else is falling apart because it's all swimming around too fast, okay? However, Cochrane talks a lot about this, Van Fleet talks about this, Landreth talks about this. You don't want to do all three because you can. But choose the one that is the most meaningful to the child at that moment. Do they need their emotion reflected? Do they need you to reflect what they said to you? Do they need you to track their behavior? Pick the one that makes the most sense for that moment. Make sense? Okay. Here we go. I wonder statements. This is your solution for not asking questions. So when you would normally ask a question, you now say, I wonder. But you don't do what at the end? You don't go up, you go down. So, I wonder what you did this weekend. I wonder what you have in mind for that. I wonder if you'd like to hold my hand or if you'd like to walk. I wonder. You're going to be saying it ad nauseum, and here's what happens. Your kids start saying it back to you. Parents hear it, and they start using it with their kids. And here's what an I wonder statement does. It lets kids stay in their emotions. It doesn't pull them up here because you're not asking them a question. The beauty of an I wonder statement is they don't have to respond because you didn't ask them anything. But they know that you're meeting them where they are and that you're wondering, so they almost always give you the information that you want. But you don't ask them anything, and so if they don't want to respond, that's okay. So I wonder statements are the antidote to the questions. And when you use I wonder statements, you will be amazed at how much more information you get than when you ask questions. Because questions feel like you're interrogating. Questions feel like you're investigating. Questions feel like you're trying to get somewhere. And when you I wonder, they don't feel threatened by that. Oh, she's wondering. She can take a jump. I'm not telling her anything. Or they're like, yeah, because, and then you get all of this extra stuff that had you asked a question, you never would have had said. And when parents start to do this, you're going to get emails and you're going to get texts and you're going to get phone calls. I cannot believe how well I wonder statements work. It's like magic. My formerly defiant 3-year-old, now I just say, I wonder if you'd like to have 4, I wonder if you'd like to have 5, and she picks 5 and she does it and it's fine. And I'm like, that's the magic of child-centered play therapy. It's fascinating to watch how kids respond to this because they live here. And I wonder statements let them stay there. So win-win. All right, returning responsibility. We always want to make it known we are not experts. We are not in charge. We know nothing. What is this for? How does this work? What is this called? What does this do? How do I get that? How do you play with this? What do you do in this game? They all want to know, right? It's either anxiety, low self-esteem, or learned helplessness. And in all scenarios, we return responsibility. You can figure that out. In here, you get to decide. You choose. You can do that. We are not in a position to teach, preach, show, demonstrate, know. We are on equal ground in a playroom. So when a child acts as if they can't do something, we can't either. I don't know how to open this. Oh, you're not sure what to do about that, but you can figure it out. And let me tell y'all, I've had parents show me on camera, because CPRT, they videotape play sessions and then we watch them together. I've had one mom in particular, but many of them, go like this to the camera and sit on their hands because they were losing their mind not swooping in to fix the problem for their kids because I said, you're going to return responsibility and it's going to be okay. And they're like, and I'm like, really? But guess what? When the child figures it out, it's amazing. Because they took ownership to do what they needed to do. So when we return responsibility, we're saying, I don't know any more than you do, but I trust you. You can do it. And they do. All right, relationship preserving. Why? Because it's the thing that matters most. What actions or words in this moment will most preserve the relationship? Do I need to take a moment and say nothing? Do I need to set a limit? Do I need to give a choice? Do I need to sit in the pocket of the emotion even though it feels awful? Do I need to let the child cry? What will most preserve the relationship in this moment? And that's how you decide what you say when. Because if a child most needs their feeling reflected in that moment, that's preserving the relationship. If they most need a limit, set a limit. If they need to be given a choice, you give them a choice. But it is all geared around what will most preserve the relationship and or do the least harm. Because sometimes the relationship has already been fractured by the child's choice. And sometimes you have to say, okay, the relationship's already fractured in this moment. What will do the least harm? But above all, it's about making sure the relationship stays solid and stays healthy.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.